where I went, where my son is now a sophomore, attend the same church with Leonard since I was a young.
You and him?
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on and on. I had the privilege of running two of his campaigns, being his field director, and being on his official staff. He's been like a father to me. And so I'm sure I'll underserve you tonight as I try to describe just who he is. One night in Vietnam, he ran into a squad bay filled with the men who flew with him on his helicopter. It was monsoon season on the Gulf of Tonkin. A Navy jet pilot had just been hit offshore. His hydraulic system had been interrupted. The pilot had to eject or die in the crash. This pilot landed in the middle of the sea and was in 15 to 20 foot swells, tangled up in his parachute, trying to get out of it, trying to live. The mayday call came in. Leonard took it. He went in to the squad bay, to his staff, his door gunner, his radio man, his co-pilot. If any man says no, we won't go. We have a man on the sea who's bound to lose his life tonight. And I want to go. They all ran out, got in his helicopter, flew out over the sea, found the Perp beacon. He told his co-pilot to take his hands and feet off the controls because he was going to start doing things that would run counter to this man's training, and he would be fighting Leonard instinctively, and he just couldn't have that tonight. He told his door gunner to get out and lash himself to the runner of that helicopter with his gun belt and hang from the sled. They were right above this soldier who was still fighting and starting to go beneath the waves. And Leonard started pulling the collective up and down, timing the waves, because you know, if water hits the tail rotor, you're going in. If water hits the main rotor, you're going over, and everybody's done. Timing. Told his door gunner over the headset the next time. Boom, down he went. The sleds went into the sea. They grabbed that soldier by the arm. He pulled the collective. The sea washed through that bay of that helicopter, but didn't touch the rotors, and up and out they went. One distinguished flying cross. Everybody was running. Helicopters were running the other way near Da Nang in Vietnam. There was a group of American soldiers who were surrounded by the VC, pinned down, and were very well armed with plenty of ammunition. Leonard circled back outside the thing and called his squadron in. He was a squadron commander, a lieutenant colonel squadron commander, who had seen action like this lots and lots and lots of times. And he called his squadron guys and said, anybody says no, we ain't going. They all radioed him back and said, let's go, boss. Tell us what to do. He told them to lay down a wall of fire on the perimeter of that thing. They all started doing that methodically. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of North Vietnamese and VC closing in on this company of American soldiers. Leonard set up a pattern, starting with him. You know, most people, when the bullets start flying, go the other way. Not this guy. He flew his helicopter time and time and time again into the hot zone, picking up five or six guys, getting them out to the safety, and then going back in again and again and again. By the time he was done, everyone was safe. The helicopter had over 100 bullet holes in it. The glass, where Leonard's feet were, was blown completely out. And I said, how did it feel to do that? He said, you don't feel, you just do. And the thing about it is, you know that the only way those guys are getting out is if you get out too. Because if you're the pilot and the commander and the thing goes down, it's over. Distinguished Flying Cross. Two Bronze Stars, the Soldier's Medal for Valor. They offered him a Silver Star. And he said, I've known men who have done much more than that but won the Silver Star. I don't believe that my actions rose to that, and he turned it down. That takes a real man to do that. He became the president of the co-op when I was in college at Graceland. The Land O'Lakes co-op. Farmers in the 80s, we all know this story, were losing their hides and losing their farms. Leonard stepped in, got with the banks, got with the creditors, got with the landowners, got everybody around the table together, and basically said, look, What's more important? Generations of this investment, these families, their lives, or some money that we can make up later? And they worked these creative financing deals that Leonard himself innovated and figured out, saved hundreds and hundreds of family farms from foreclosure, and in doing so, saved lives. Went to the Iowa Senate. When he became the president of the Iowa Senate, I'll just say one thing. He raised a penny, the sales tax, by a penny. Now, who's got the guts? Who's got the gut? The state had to have it. We were going into the tank. They examined all kinds of different ways to do this. So he sat down with the Republicans, and he sat down with Terry Branstad, and he sat down with all these people and laid the case out. And it was passed in both chambers, and the governor signed it because it was the right thing to do, and people worked together back then. And then 7 terms in the United States Congress, the Joshua Omvig bill, the Veterans Suicide Prevention Act, was authored by the congressman, and he views that as his shining achievement in the House of Representatives. For all the things I've told you tonight, there are hundreds and hundreds more that he has done in the quiet of the evening from his living room at home, from the cockpit of his airplane, or wherever he may find himself, when a call came out that someone needed him, that someone's life was devoid of hope, that they were filled with despair, and he felt he had the solution. I can tell you after being on his staff, when you got 5 hours of sleep a night working for Leonard Boswell, you wanted to make sure it was a quality 5 hours, because you were going in for 19 or 20 the next day. And when the day was done, and the agenda was over, he'd say, "We got one more thing we gotta do, don't we?" And somebody would have one more thing we needed to do to take care of some human being that was alone and lonely, hopeless and helpless, until they picked up their phone and it was Congressman Boswell. That's just the way he did it. One night we were flying in his little Piper Comanche, just he and I, back from an event in Burlington, flying to Lamoni, tracking Highway 2. And it was quiet, and the sun was going down, it was the evening, and the southern Iowa prairie was glowing red with just that light that only an Iowa sunset can throw down for you, and we were flying quietly above it. This man who had seen so many terribly horrible things, death and destruction, all the awful things, the farm crisis and the suicides that went along with that, and all those things, we're flying along, a United States congressman, a retired combat colonel, a verified, bona fide, decorated war hero, this man who had been through so many things. And out of nowhere, he said, "Scotty, can I tell you something?" And I was his campaign manager at the time. I said, "Absolutely, what is it?" And I had bawled out a staff member that day for not doing what I thought they should be doing on the campaign, and I had kind of been rough with them, and it got back to him. He said, "Well, as a commander, Scott, I learned that most often, if one of my soldiers didn't do what I asked him to do, I figured out eventually that I had to look back into myself. It started with me, and perhaps I didn't communicate exactly what I wanted in a way that they were able to process the way I thought they would. And eventually I found out that the people with me always wanted to do the right thing. They wanted to please me. They wanted a happy boss. They wanted to feel good about themselves and be proud of their work. And so I learned a lesson I'm going to pass along to you. Starting tomorrow, I want you to lead with love. You will not lead with anger. You will not lead with something on your mind that makes you feel accusatory of someone else. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you'll come into the office and you'll lead with love from this point forward. I've learned that that's the right way to do things. Lead with love." He also told me that nobody flies into a hail of bullets. No man gets out of his bunk and agrees to get into a helicopter in a monsoon with 20-foot waves to save another man. No one does that unless empathy is the primary quality built into their character. And as public servants, I finally figured out that my reason for being in this business is empathy driven. And if we're really going to be the party we need to be, and this goes back to what the congressman said earlier, we need to really kind of step back and figure out what people are going through right now. and be the party that leads with empathy and that leads with love. And so I am the messenger tonight of thanks and gratitude from Congressman Boswell, a man who's done more to raise me than, in many ways, than my own parents had a chance to do. And so from him, that soldier, come senator, the colonel, come congressman, the gentleman farmer, and son of Iowa, our friend and a true American hero, thank you very much for this award from Congressman Leonard Boswell.